Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
This is Frosted Tips with Lance Bass,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host, Lance Bass. This is Frosted Tips with me, Lance Bass, and my lovely, lovely co-host and husband, Turkey Turchin.
Hey there, guys.
Michael for some of you, but yeah, Turkey for most.
Turkey for most. Gobble, gobble. Okay.
All right, I'm going to get right to our guest because I have a feeling we're going to need this whole hour with him. Because I hear he loves to talk and tell some good stories. So
good.
I think
we're in for
a good ride here
with
Tony Aller.
Yes, one half of MKTO. Yeah. The TO of MKTO.
Mm-hmm. You know them. You love them. Their song classic is just one that just goes over my head, over and over and over in my head.
Over my head.
Mm-hmm. So when we come back, let's get to Tony Aller. Tony Aller. Tony Aller. Tony, I can't speak.
Tony Aller.
Tony Aller.
Or Tony Aller.
Okay. Well, let's get this started. Anthony Michael Aller is an American singer, songwriter, actor from Springfield, Illinois, but raised in Houston, Texas. He had roles as Walt Moore on the Teen Nick TV show Gigantic and as Danny on Disney's channel As the Bell Rings. He appeared in the films Beneath the Darkness, The Purge, which scared the crap out of me. He was also half of the group MKTO with his co-star Malcolm David Kelly, who we had. So before leaving the group in 2021, which you have to talk about, because y'all get together, you take a break, you get back together. So we need the full story, Tony, but let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
So we've been going through everyone's history, finding out how they got into what they're doing now. So let's start at that beginning. You grew up in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
What was it like for little Tony in Houston, Texas?
Man, you know, I don't know about you, but I couldn't gain weight to save my life in high school. You know, senior year, I was like 115. And, you know, I always wanted to be the sport jock guy, but
wasn't in the cards.
It wasn't possible. You know, I did theater. I loved theater. I think especially when you come from the South, especially back in the day, if you did theater or acting or singing, it was a very,
you were immediately gay, which is the worst thing ever.
Well, you were just immediately put into a category that didn't seem to fit with everyone. And that was a shame. Mm-hmm. I always, at the end of the day, acting and music, I mean, you know, you go to a movie, you see Spider-Man, you want to be Spider-Man when you come out of it. It's just that same thing. And I always enjoyed that. So, besides the, you know, the hazing that we all got back in the day, I think it's somewhat better now. I don't know.
I mean, it has to be better, right?
No. I mean, yeah. I'm hoping, because it's very much more of a open dialogue, and people are held accountable for saying these things, which is great. Yeah. Unless you're dying and someone just decides to film it as opposed to help, that I don't agree with.
Yeah, exactly. And so your family was like, how were they musically talented or into theater?
I'm adopted.
Oh, yeah.
So I was adopted from Springfield or Taylorville, Illinois. One of the two.
one of them.
Yeah, definitely. So I was adopted. So, but ironically, I don't think if you met my mom, you would say, "Oh, this isn't her blood." We're very similar in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But she's a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder.
Oh, that's good.
So I mean, as far as that goes, they were just always so supportive, and you know. You get older and you realize, you know, what a sacrifice. And, you know, the fact that I was adopted is I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for that situation. So I actually met my birth mom.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And half brother and half sister all in a weekend.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't planned.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah, so my family was all from the same high school. So my mom that adopted me went to the same high school my birth mom did.
Oh, so, but they didn't know each other?
They didn't. Oh, no, wow. They did not know each other. Ironically, but it was a very small town. Ironically, I was 18. I don't know why I keep saying ironically. when I was 18, I was in visiting my grandma. My cousin says, "Hey, you want to meet your sister?" And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, your sister. She says she's your sister." And I'm like, "What?" So anyway, we ended up meeting up. It was really cool. There was a lot of... you know, it was good to get some questions and answers with that. Yeah. But other than that, man, yeah, it's just, you know, life has a way of just kind of everything happening.
It's so funny. It's fascinating to me, especially, you know, when people are adopted in this day and age with 23andMe and all that, where people finding their relatives out there like, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
And so they're getting down to the truth of like where they came from, which can be positive for some people, but can go negative for a lot.
Oh, when you don't know if you're adopted.
But, I know, right? Absolutely.
Now, you started working at a young age. How long did you live in Houston? Did you make it to LA when you were a kid to start acting?
So I went out there for one pilot season, which was like basically just like a couple months where there's a lot of auditions that happen. And
which
going
doesn't happen anymore. Like pilot season.
Which does not
done.
Happen anymore. Yeah. Absolutely not. I mean, these were the days when you had, you know, if you went out there, you'd have like seven auditions in a day. Mm-hmm. You go bam, 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 bam. And so I was out there for that. And I went to like John Muir Middle School, Burbank, which was pretty cool, actually. I loved it. I mean, definitely better than Houston. So after that, at 18, I had saved up money that I got from Disney and all that stuff. And I moved out to L.A. And I had enough to last me like a year. Thankfully, every time things seemed to whittle down, something good would happen. I was like grateful to whoever's, you know, looking out for that.
Isn't that funny how that happens? That happens in my life a lot.
It happens in my life too.
And, but it's one of those things to where when it doesn't happen, you realize how much more grateful you were that it did.
Oh,
because
it
doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. And that'll humble you quick.
Now, some of your roles featured you singing, like Disney Channel's As the Bell Rings. But when did you decide to actually pursue the music side of you?
Man. I always loved music. I don't know about you, but I still am, you know, super self-conscious in a lot of stuff in life. Mm-hmm. Even singing or being put on the spot, like my anxiety goes through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But there was something about music that was more in control, right, than acting or reading a script. It was the ability to help put something together and know you did a lot, you know, to help it.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, I'd watch like these, like, you know, you're younger, you're 18, you're living in LA, there's a lot of people you meet, and you know, Malcolm and I just clicked, and you know, we would just start hanging out all the time and doing the music thing. But I think it didn't really take itself seriously until after we met on a thing. I don't even know what I can say because of the SAG thing, but when we started doing stuff, we put stuff on YouTube, and we had both individually done music beforehand, whether it's putting up covers or you know, doing songs here and there, but really, really bad. I produced a song that was awful, but I think it's still on iTunes, that is just ridiculously made on GarageBand. Uh-huh. But it was fun. And through that, it was like, dude, you know, we would sit there and be talking about, man, wouldn't it be cool if you were on this side of the stage, I'm on that side of the stage, and we got people singing the songs we're writing. And that's like, there is a certain high to that. And I know you know that, Lance.
Oh, yes.
There is such a incredible feeling you can't describe. Mm-hmm. And you know, to have it happen the way it did, it was really cool, because, you know, obviously it wouldn't have, if everything didn't fall in line the way it did, it definitely wouldn't have happened. So
Do you remember that? Do you remember the moment you met Malcolm? Was it like an audition or anything?
Oh yeah, man. So I was living in LA and they were doing screen tests for Gigantic at the Nickelodeon building in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yeah, it was the Nickelodeon building, I believe, or MTV building.
Yeah,
MTV.
The Viacom building. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was two people that were up for the best friend role, and I had gotten cast in it, and they were asking to come up there to do a chemistry read with these two people. I felt so bad for the other guy, because, I mean, the minute I met Malcolm, we just clicked, because I watched You Got Served. Mm-hmm. Like, I hadn't seen Lost, okay, but I knew immediately You Got Served.
Yeah.
And I was a aspiring break dancer in my early years.
Nice.
Absolutely awful at it. But, but man, so I immediately clicked with him, and, you know, I met the other guy, and, you know, it was just, it was a very cohesive, kosher, you know, and, you know, after we read, I was like, guys, please pick him, please, you know, and it was cool. And from then on there, man, we stayed in close contact, and it's crazy though, because that one moment affected my life for the next, in a great way. And that was a really cool experience.
I love that. It's called Kismet, as we say.
Dude, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. When did you start getting into GarageBand? Because I couldn't even produce music on GarageBand right now.
Nobody can. Well, some people can. Some people. But when it comes to what comes with GarageBand, God, man. So I got up to Logic, to where I finally learned Logic. Mm-hmm. But God, man. You know, there was a time when auto-tune was like going crazy, and, you know, you had a pitch corrector in GarageBand, but it was so bad, you know, I would watch
the original Cher sounding.
Man. Yeah. Not auto-tune. It's butchered it really bad. But I don't know, man, I would watch like Lil Wayne videos, my 18, you know, living alone. And I would watch like these mixtapes where he had, you know, auto-tune on his voice. And I kid you not, man, there's probably 1,000 hours worth of mixtape rap songs that I've done with friends on GarageBand that I pray never see the light of day.
Well, did you have any mentors to help you do, or do you just kind of figure it out yourself?
YouTubed it, man. Well, GarageBand is a little easier to, not a little easier. it's somewhat. Logic is when I finally got some help, but. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't even say the GarageBand stuff I did sounded, it was awful. It was just,
but it was
awful.
A moment in time, you know,
it was a moment it in was time a moment that in led time. To something positive.
It's like the Atari, you know, it's like, GarageBand was like our Atari.
That. Yeah. I found an old Sega Genesis console I had the other day with Paperboy. I don't know if you remember.
I remember Paperboy.
Dude, it was awesome. Was jump fun. The bike ramp. So simple. These days you got, you know, whole worlds in VR.
I know. I can't play the ones now. too complicated.
After PlayStation 2, they lost me, because I had the PlayStation 2, and then I started getting busy with NSYNC, and I just wasn't able.
And then you jump back into it.
We had an Xbox, but like didn't play it that much. The guys did. So once
you probably had that at like arena tours, right? Like they would have it in like the green room.
Oh, we had it on our bus. I mean, we would play. Yeah, we would play Halo and scare. I mean, I would be so scared in my bunk because we'd have like four of these things put together, and we'd play each other, and everyone's sniping your ass. I'm like, stop sniping! That's cheating.
We have got to talk about the bunks, man. Did you ever fall out of yours?
Surprisingly, I've never fallen out of a bunk. No, but I know lots of people that have.
I can imagine.
It's painful.
And I love a bus. I sleep the best in a bus. I do.
Dude, I would get a little claustrophobic, and I felt bad because I would kind of just take the back room.
Yeah.
Right? So like people would come back there to watch TV, but I'd just make a little
like this couch, is my bed.
I would just feel so secluded. And then the one time I rolled out of thinking I was in bed and just ate, you know, big splat. And man, dude, There was one time where I don't know what it was, probably a random story, but I had gotten an eye infection. And it was basically like a bad version of pink eye. But like my whole entire eyes were puffed. I woke up, didn't know what it was. We had a news performance at 7 a.m. And we had to do it. So I wore glasses. I looked like the biggest dude. Like, just like, hey, man, I'm wearing glasses, you know, and I'm trying to be cool. And if like you saw me take them off, you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, put those,
put those back on.
Put them back on. We get it. It's all good.
Man, I love it. Yes. I remember when we finally were, because, you know, the five of us always shared a bus for years. And then finally we get to a tour. We got spread out to two buses. So it was three guys on one and two on the other. And I was on one with Joey Fatone, which is a whole nother story. But that was when we finally got to have the queen size bed in the back instead of couches. And you better believe I took that bedroom. I was like, Joey, you get the ball. I'm staying right here. So yeah, it was luxurious. Man, it was amazing.
Yeah, dude. Amazing. Yeah, I was just, we never got to the, did we have two buses? If we did have two buses, it was still one crew and one the other one. But I loved it, man. I loved the relationships with the crew.
Oh yeah.
And the people you met on these tours.
It's a family. Tell people it's like, especially in the acting world, you know, when you do a show, you know, movie, you do a TV series, it's the same thing. You get to know this crew so well and the writers and the directors, and you become this family. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's over and you're like, oh, it's
and
like summer camp's
with
over.
Nothing to do.
I know.
It's like you go from 7 a.m. To 6 p.m. schedules for 2 years and you go back and you're like well, I don't know what to do with downtime. Very much so, man.
So I mentioned before, so y'all kind of broke up a few years ago, right? 2019.
Oh yeah.
And then you got back together, which why did y'all, did you get back together just for one reason, like a song?
I don't know what. So like, you know, I think there was a period of time, especially when you're growing up in this world, that you can very easily get lost of yourself, lost in yourself and lost with everything around you. And, you know, it's kind of exactly what you were just saying, that there was a hard adjustment, especially for me, to go from this is what you have to do every day. Okay, you can hang out for a month. You don't got to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that for me was like, because I'm a very introverted person. Like, I could go years without wanting to leave my house. You know, and that's not necessarily healthy. And I think, you know, I got to a point to where just wasn't happy anymore. I was extremely lost and just, you know, there was other things that were happening behind the scenes. And this is another thing too, is, you know, when you're making your label millions, you're you get treated a certain way.
Yeah.
And when you're not, you get treated a certain way.
Yes, indeed.
You know, you'll get a $1 million budget for a music video. If that doesn't go well, your next budget's probably 500. If that 250 down.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that and not being used to being grounded that, listen, what you did was great, but it's not going to always happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out the tools within your life to make sure that when it happens, you can handle it. Mm-hmm. So I was really just, I got to a point where I just was ready to go back. And there was other things behind the scenes that happened, whether it's people you're working with or contracts or whatever. And for that point though, so I moved back to Houston. And the positive thing I look at that from, A, is I'm still alive, right? The second part is when you, I guess, have whatever success you have at a young age, you, in one way or another, I feel maybe you have relationships in your life you never really cared to explore because you kind of feel like you're on your own, right? Mm-hmm. You had support from your family, but then, you know, you're out by yourself, your family, the relationship kind of distances, and you lose whatever that relationship was you had. And from moving back and being older, I rekindled, you know, those relationships with my family, and, you know, it made everything worth it, in my opinion. You know, if it never happens again, that's fine. But, but being able to have those relationships, being able to spend time with my family, seeing them, was something that I was very grateful that happened out of a chaos situation. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think I'd be as close with my family as I am now.
Right.
So,
funny what, you know, life throws at you, right?
I know.
It's all about the journey. And thank God you got to learn those things at such an early age.
Yeah.
Man. You know. Yeah, well, mm-hmm. still learning. Yeah. Still learning.
Oh, we all are.
Right?
Oh, yeah. But I can totally relate to what you were saying, you know, with like the depression of it all, you know, when you're, because when you get to a high like you guys have and like NSYNC has, you can't.
You guys had a way
hard,
bigger high.
Yeah, but like it's hard to beat that, right? It's like, yeah, there's a moment in time and like we're lucky if we get two chances like that, right? Mm-hmm. But it is, as much as you enjoy it and like, wow, you can't help but get depressed afterwards, being like, God, I feel like, like, what else, what is there for me? What, like, no one is paid, like, no one cares about me anymore.
No one's feeding my ego.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, at that point, there's only, the only way to go is down at that point. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're kind of setting yourself up.
And people, like, because I remember, so our last album, Celebrity, was considered to many that it was a flop. You know, and it was our last album, and I always been like, God, like, I hate going out on a flop, right? Everything's like,
I know,
just
a
kinda,
flop.
But it sold like 6 million albums. Yeah, I'm like, how do people consider that? But yeah, if you compare it to what you did right before, then everything looks like a failure if you compare it that way. It was just weird to me that people would just look down upon us because we only sold that.
It's like you only sold a million the first week.
Yeah. Well, and it was also like, what about people, you know, like there was no, there was no sense of, I felt like with a lot of the people that were surrounding it was like, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, we're going to, you know, label, you know, maybe coming and saying, we'll get it next time. You know, we'll figure it out. But it was all label talk.
Our label was like, you guys are done. Like they saw that as a chance to be like, we are now taking a guy and going solo because this is not happening.
Very, very similar on our thing. Oh, I mean, Bad Girls, whatever we did was like, they gave us $1 million budget for the video. Super exciting.
Yeah.
We did it where they shot American Sniper.
Oh.
There's beautiful women. It was a really cool, it was like Mad Max theme.
Yeah.
And that song.
Yep. And now, don't you realize, I mean, I wish we'd have learned this earlier, the word recoupable. Because, when we would get that $1 million budget, like, oh, we're paying.
No, it wasn't. They weren't really putting that $1 million budget. Yeah. It was, we're going to take that out of your next check.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, next we're just going to do a fan video, like record at our next concert.
Next time it's on your iPhone.
Yeah. Dude, it was like the 360 management. I mean, that was very much like that way of the deal. I think it's awesome that, you know, there's definitely opportunities now these days to where people kind of can cut the middleman out.
100%. And I was going to ask that because you were kind of on that cusp of the labels kind of disappearing and just becoming a PR firm. And a lot of artists that get discovered on YouTube and TikTok, they get to play around with those labels like, no, I'm not going to sign with you.
Yeah.
They have so much power now. So what was that like when labels were coming after you guys? Was it easy to choose? And did y'all ever think maybe we should do this independently?
You know, so it was a really random thing. So like I grew up going to like Vans Warped Tour shows, right? So there was a band that I had kind of seen, I think it was called maybe The Cab.
We love The Cab.
And through that world, I had met Brian Dales from the Somerset.
Okay.
And he and I kept in contact, and randomly out one day I kind of asked him like, hey man, anybody in LA doing any music things? Really random, stupid question, because like, of course they are. Can you introduce me to one? But there was two producers, E-Man and Evan, and Andrew Goldstein, who was in a band called the Friday Night Boys. And Andrew's who I reached out to. And when we had met, they had Classic. So it was, that song was already basically, you know, it was there. It was like, hey, you guys want to cut it? Actually, no, it was an audition. It's like, you guys cut it. If we like the way you sound it, we'll go from there.
Huh?
And I was like, hell yeah, dude, love it. So we cut like an EP, a couple of songs.
When you heard that, what was your first thought when you heard that demo?
Oh, man. I was like, really? Like, you sure? Yeah, I mean, you know, like everybody you were, you sure? I mean, you know, but we were so young. We're like, we went in there, man. We're like, let's have some drinks. Let's do this, man. Let's party, you know? And there was it was a fun thing. But once that was cut, then it became the label selection, right? So what they wanted to do was we wanted to basically use those songs to get a good deal. Because everybody that we had played the song for, and we went to the label, we went to, you know, New York run, which was with Columbia, Jive, Universal, basically did the whole, hey guys, how's it going? So and so here, play a song, blah, 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 blah. And then what was funny, and I'm curious to know what you guys went through with this, was we would meet like, you know, the president You're like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, you know, we're just hanging out. He's like, dude, come to my penthouse. We'll have some meatballs made by my chef, and then we'll go out on the town. So I won't say who it was, but he had a penthouse. Actually, I can't remember his name, to be honest. He had a penthouse above P. Diddy or below P. Diddy. Uh-huh. And that was his selling point. He's like, dude, P. Diddy's underneath me. Come on now, right? We go to his apartment. There's literally a maid that had just got done finishing meatballs. I mean, there's like a, it made no sense. It was like, I've never ever gone, hey man, how's it going? Come on over. It was weird. Super weird. Great meatballs.
Have some meatballs.
Dude, so then after that, he's like, come on, man, we're going to go out. We're like, okay, you know, we're 18, you know, can't even drink. We're like, yeah, absolutely, man. And he took us to this like Illuminati looking building, okay. Right? So it's like down an alley. It was there, you know, it was super sketchy looking, right? And we go in, or he goes to the front of the line. He goes, hey, I'm going in. He's like, oh, yes, sir. So-and-so, please come in. And we go in, super dim, candles lit. It was an old theater. And come to find out, that was Charlie Chaplin's theater. And a private owner owns it.
Nice.
And he had like this kind of party thing there. But I remember I was just like, look, Malcolm and I are just looking at each other like, what the f- is going on, man? Yeah. Like, what?
Uh-huh.
And although that was amazing, we didn't sign with that label.
Yeah. But, I mean, we had, man, some similarities. Look, yeah. The record labels did not even want us. I mean, you talk about Tommy Mottola to L.A. Reid. Everyone's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Dude,
so,
well, yeah.
So we had to do our stuff in Germany. So I'm sure, yes, I went to the president's home there, with his wife. And it's, you know, it's not New York City. Let's put it that way. You're in Munich, Germany.
But that wasn't even, I mean, I don't think that's not just how it was. I mean, and talk about making people go, damn, I should have done something there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With everything the way it played out. You know, it's like, hey, that's the best way to karma.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
All right, so you've talked about making solo music before, and you've done some solo performances, but would you ever release a solo album?
Yeah.
You know, I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Yeah.
But we're not working on that right now.
It's not that I don't want to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an unfortunate situation, especially when it's something that you always had as an outlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So it's, I don't even know how to describe it. I describe it as, you guys remember Star Wars, right?
No,
of yeah. course.
Have you seen, you remember in Harrison Ford, the walls are closing in?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I feel when it comes to that stuff.
Really?
Because it's unfortunate, but I don't, you know, it's stuff you do when you're young. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's just, you get older, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done this or that. But I would love to. That's the best way I would say. I'd love to release music.
All right. Well, let's work on that. We've made some magic happen on this show
we
before.
Have
we've,
lots of magic.
We've put groups together. We've made things happen. Yeah. All right.
Dude, well, I gotta say though, I love. Oh, and I just saw Love.
Oh yes, right there.
Fireplace.
And you know what? The name of that art piece is called "Love Is Hard to Find" because it's hard to find because it's black on black.
That's a very accurate statement. But then also you got what's the art pieces you got?
Well, that's
signed.
That's a peace sign.
He does all our art. So
yeah,
this is all.
I'm the resident artist.
Yeah,
dude, I love that.
Faceless James Dean. Yeah. Uh-huh. But you can't tell.
I love that, man. I love that.
It's nice living with an artist because anytime I'm like, you know what? Like this piece right here, we're going to replace because it's been there for a few years. I'm like, I want something like this with this color. And he's like, okay, done. I'm like, yeah. Never have to buy art again. It's amazing.
Dude, it's really great. I love it. Right. I love it. I love art. Yeah. I love it.
Do you like to draw or are you an artist yourself?
I like drawing. I got into, I can't even think of the name of, I got really bored one night and I was trying to figure out how like shading, mm-hmm. you know, is. Uh-huh. And what was the one thing stippling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stippling.
I was
baffled at it, man. So I I've done a few random things, but yeah, you know.
There was
not at all as cool as that.
I don't know because the whole shading thing's new to me. Like, you know, when I draw a stick figure, you know, I'm not doing any of that kind of stuff. But your dad, Michael, told he had some book and it was all about shading. And it made sense to me finally. And
cross hatching and all that stuff.
And whatever that is, sure.
But
he was kind of doing it, and I'm like, oh my god, it is. It's just all about just shading in a face.
You shade. Everything's a shade. If you draw a face, you're actually just putting in the shading.
Yeah.
The shading makes it 3D and realistic.
Yeah, I know a book. It's like drawing with the whatever side of your brain, the other side. So like,
but that just didn't even
comprehend
to me. It
teaches you to do it upside down painting. So you only look at the light source. That's all you're doing.
Never looked at that from perspective until he told me that. I'm like, oh.
That's why I do my paintings. That's why you do it section by section.
Yeah.
I loved learning about that because that to me is the same way. Like it's inconceivable. Mm-hmm. To understand how certain things are made, but I was like,
and then
you
start looking at the world differently too, because like you look in your faces and everyone else. I'm like,
and you see the shadow.
Look at the shadow there,
dude.
And
yeah,
right.
The biggest one I've noticed is that I'll look at hair highlights and I'll be like, oh yeah, that would be the thing where you'd keep it white.
Yeah, just
but
white
just
right
draw
there.
Little threads going up.
Exactly.
Oh, man, it's cool.
Maybe I missed my calling. If I would have known that earlier, I could have been.
No, it's never too late, Lance.
Oh, you could have been successful.
You know what?
Too bad. Maybe you'll be successful in your last life.
Okay, I'm gonna pick that up.
Okay,
you're gonna have to teach me.
I would happily.
You're gonna sing and dance, and I'm gonna. Well, actually, he's a great singer dancer.
Switch
so
it.
Let's.
And you can be a.
You guys
got to
do role reversal.
Okay.
Okay. Done.
Role reversal.
We do that all the time.
Let's do it.
only in P. Diddy's penthouse.
Yeah, only in P. Diddy's penthouse.
I'm surprised you haven't noticed. Didn't you?
No, you're so. Oh, I see Batman back
Batman.
Yeah.
Get enough.
Nice.
Dude, it was the dumbest thing, bro. So when we used to do the Universal Studios performances, which were awesome, and you get paid 50 grand each for like an hour, but then I would go to all the shops and I would try to find a head, like, you know, like life size. So I found like an Iron Man one, a Stormtrooper one. I was very dumbly bought, but you know, I enjoy it.
That sounds like collection. That sounds like Joey Fatone.
It's very Joey Fatone.
Yeah, very Joey Fatone.
Like, that man is so funny. He collects all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, he's a big Superman is his dude. But then he started collecting guitars from, you know, big guitarists, and which is a great, like, I mean, he has his collection all over the wall, signed by everyone, right? Aerosmith, the Queen, I mean, just everyone. And I remember it was
Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons is one of the smartest businessmen I know, right? I mean, he's just like, he knows, I mean, merch, everything, like, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Joey asked for a guitar to add to his collection. Sure, Joey, sure. Sends the guitar with with a note saying, okay, just make the checkout to blah, 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 blah.
So, oh, no.
He's like, okay. Which I thought was genius. I'm like, you better make him pay for that, Gene. Yeah. Giving that guitar away for free.
Sending him a guitar.
That's hilarious. Oh, God. Well, I won't even ask. What was the ballpark?
I wonder.
I don't even know. I have no idea. I mean, I would imagine it's, you know, around 20 grand.
Yeah.
I would think.
I'd be like,
even with a discount. But that's
what you can do is just take the guitar, just take a laminate of the autograph, send it back, and say, oh, I'm good.
Yeah,
man.
I'm good.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Let's put it right back on.
I have the same guitar. Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of other musicians, are there any musicians that you would love to collaborate with?
Man, I've kind of always. The weird thing I think with music is that, like, the collabs that you never thought really would work kind of always create something really interesting. I don't know who. I mean,
or who are you actually Lance loving right now? What are you listening to right now? Who would you recommend that we're listening to?
So I'm like, you know, sometimes I go to these like stages where, you know, as I said, I grew up going to Warped Tours, right? There's a band called, I think, Beartooth that I've been listening to lately. Yeah. That's totally like reminds me of early 2000s bands, Warped Tour, rock and roll kind of things. Yeah. But man, dude, who have I been? Drumming. Okay, so drum and bass, the genre. I've just really gotten into the way that everything is. And there's a artist by the name of Sub Focus. Super cool. What's that one song? And you guys should listen to it if you haven't. Called I Found You.
Okay, found
I Found You by Sub Focus. Super good, super melodic. I don't know, man. I think the weirdest mashups either produce something really cool or something really funny.
Yeah.
And so either way, it's entertaining.
I love it. Well, so maybe Weird Al Yankovic. Wait, did he pass away?
Man. No, okay, you always
I feel like
say
I
that.
Always think he passed away.
Literally every month, we're like,
wasn't
oh, he died.
And I'm
like,
I felt like there was an article that came out.
I think there might have been.
I'm not dead.
Yeah.
I'm not dead. I'm still here.
Yeah. was there anyone in this industry that was a particularly positive influence on your career, acting or music?
Oh, man. There's a lot of people I can't think of at the top. But like, I always appreciated meeting people that were successful, but still really nice. One being Taylor Swift. I think you guys know who she is.
She loves you guys.
Dude, well, she was so sweet. Mm-hmm. So sweet.
Because she brought y'all out on the 2015 tour, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
What was that
like? Yeah, was that crazy?
That was awesome. It was funny because we had a radio show that day before, and I think we were trying to figure it out, and like the night before we had figured out the travel situation, so we did that radio show in the afternoon and then flew to Gillette Stadium. So cool, man. God, that's so cool. So you did a lot of the stadiums. You when you do a House of Blues and you go to a stadium, it's night and day. You can't hear anything to begin with.
No. And I think I asked Malcolm this question last week. That first stadium moment, you can never get out of your head. Because I remember our first one was Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope Tour and at the Silver Dome in Detroit. And you just walk on stage and you just get these like goosebumps that just never go away.
It's just
insane. Dude.
They're still here.
They're still here. Yeah.
Dude, I will never forget. There's so many moments. And God, man, I'm so grateful Malcolm came into my life because he's just a awesome person and somebody I really cherish. And there's just so many great memories we have. Yeah. And there was that time to where, you know, she's about to announce whoever's coming. And and we are on this elevator thing, right? So it's in the back of the stage and elevator, and Malcolm and I are looking at each other backstage like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I go, this has been awesome. He's like, this is super awesome. It was just a high, man. It was just high and then ceiling.
But dude, what's great about having that friend, I mean, it's your brother for life. Only you two will understand that. Yeah. Like, you're the only ones that will actually understand what that feels like.
Yeah. And we're both adopted.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Look at that universe.
Yeah, dude. It's I don't even know how to describe it, but super awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Super. Yeah. It was the one time where I definitely was like, I don't care if I sound good or not. I'm going to take this in. Yep. And it was super, super cool. And that's something I'll never forget.
What I love about a Taylor Swift concert is everyone is in such a good mood. There's just...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's
just
so happy.
Hear the bonuses she gave to her crew?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude. And the thing is, though, is I have yet to meet somebody who's been on that tour and not said anything incredible. I mean,
yeah.
She's doing it right.
I've never met anybody that's actually said anything bad about her that actually knows her. Yeah.
I mean, we got Cristal or no, Dom Perignon.
Really?
I remember I say that's so Southern, man.
Dom Perignon.
I love some Dom Perignon.
I mean, so King of the Hill-ish. She got us a bottle of Dom Perignon. I met her mom while she was walking one of her dogs, which was the most beautiful dog ever. It was just, that's, you get that same energy. Mm-hmm. And I hope a lot of successful artists see how she does it.
Yeah.
Because as a whole and the way it functions is a very positive thing to see in that kind of environment where a lot of the times it's not, you know, done like that. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see both sides, and there's a lot of artists that do this and they're great. Yeah. But then there's a lot of artists that just don't know what the hell they're
doing. Don't care.
Well, true. Yeah. And a lot of people think like you have to be an asshole basically in order to be get to that level. No. But Taylor Swift is the most successful artist in the world, and she proves that you do not have to be nasty.
I mean, look at Beyonce.
To be successful, and Beyonce
Jackson. I mean, there's so many great examples of people that just come off tour and be like, wow, that was the best thing ever.
Best you want to go right back on it.
And it must be, especially for Taylor these days, it must take so much energy to not make mistakes, right? Because everyone's going to make mistakes. Yeah. But her case, she's like, okay, one little thing could just really destroy everything I've worked for because people are just wanting her to fail. Like, there's so many people just wanting her to do something stupid.
Well, God, man, with all the.
But so far, she hasn't. It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah. And there was a big hurdle with the music stuff when she re-recorded her stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that to me is something that's seen a situation like that. And I'm sure you guys have as well, obviously. Yeah. Yep. That was like right on. Good for you. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. So one thing I loved also, you know, at the show, even all the security, all the concession stand people, everyone taking your tickets, whatever, smiling, dancing, getting people's bracelets and trading bracelets with everyone. It was. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to see.
Sweet.
Like everyone for like 3 hours was just living a wonderful, positive life. Uh-huh. It was beautiful to see. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now you have worked hard and dedicated yourself to your career. And, you know, there has been tough times. We just went through COVID. We're going through this SAG strike right now. So can you give us a frosted tip on what keeps you motivated during tough times?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. Good question. Who's motivated? I I think if you've gotten to a, even if you haven't, there's something in the way you kind of mentioned Goosebumps, right? Mm-hmm. So to a certain extent, I feel like as long as you're, this is a tough one. Staying motivated. Let me think.
It can be multiple.
I'm trying to think of a good way to respond to this.
Yeah.
First, it's admitting that it's going to be tough. Admitting that, you know, right now there's not much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Being content with that, not letting it swallow you whole.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one thing? These days soon will pass, or whatever.
Yeah,
or this That's too what, shall I mean, pass.
Yeah,
you know, if it's you gotta if you sit on a thought that's that negative, especially in situations where you don't have necessarily an end date
mm-hmm.
of when this would stop, you're just setting yourself up for a morbid thought process.
Right.
I agree.
Manifest negative things.
But also speaking openly about that.
Yeah.
And being honest about that, maybe one person sees and goes, okay, he's not bullshitting. Well, I feel the same way. Yeah. So I guess that's...
Is there a person that you like to confide in? Is it a family member? Is it a best friend?
Oh, man.
Or do you just talk to yourself?
Most of the time.
Yeah. I get it.
If you can talk to yourself, it'll... you know, if you can have a conversation with yourself, honestly, I think that only makes it a positive thing if you're talking about it with others, because at the end of the day, you're not going to always have that person talking. But that meditation, I actually really strongly believe in meditation or just doing some breathing exercises. What is it where you blow, or suck in with your mouth and you blow out with your nose or your nose and mouth or whatever, but you do it three times for a certain amount of time, you'll feel almost a natural
high. Yeah, natural high. Yeah.
Yeah. And just a calming thing.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times people don't take deep enough breaths. I mean, you go way down in there. And if you have trouble going to sleep, and which I do and Michael does, I'm telling you.
Last night we did a meditation.
We went to bed immediately.
It was actually kind of weird.
And it's the breathing.
I learned it. Yeah. Therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy is where I learned a lot of that stuff.
Same, yeah.
I still stand by that. That's something that should be way more open about.
Well, yeah, that's a good answer in itself. Therapy. That's how you can get by.
And therapy was such a stigma. I mean, even 10 years ago, people would admit they're going, you know, to therapy, but now it's the cool thing. It's like we all need to freaking talk to some people.
I love it that it's a cool thing, and I hope it isn't from that abused in a certain extent, because there's an honesty with therapy, and it's not necessarily something where you do therapy, you have to go out the next day and say, oh, I learned this, I learned that. It's just a process to, you know, I think digest whatever's happening.
And just to remind yourself, we forget.
Yeah.
So just getting that like, oh yeah, I need to breathe. Just being reminded.
You know, there's something somebody told me a long time ago where it was, and this is for depression, which I'm very open about. I'm always fighting that thing. But, you know, there's a couple of things you can ask yourself every day. A, did you wake up? Mm-hmm. Okay. You're better than half the people in the world, probably.
Yeah.
Or whoever, you know, unfortunately. You know, do you have a house over your head? Do you have a roof over your head?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can, it's easy for someone to pinpoint negatives, but it's a lot more therapeutic to realize the positives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like telling people, like, think about this. Think about how much of a miracle had to happen for you to be here right now.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking about hundreds of years ago, things had to have happened perfectly for you to be here right now. If your great, great grandmother took a left instead of a right, you wouldn't be here right now.
It's Amen like, to that.
And then all of a sudden you're fighting all the other little sperm going into the egg over there. And then, you know, and so you, one of billions
trips me
out. You made it. Yeah, so it's like, to
that
get just, here.
Like, that to me is like the biggest, I'm baffled by that. It's like, I go down a rabbit hole, right? Because I'm like, okay, so even to go even deeper on that, it's what put the world here?
Yeah.
What put the universe? What put that star there?
Yeah.
Okay, we discovered this, but what put that there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the one question that always trips me out is you can ask it this throughout whatever you question, but you say, where did that originate? It goes down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And I'm hoping that we get to a point where, you know, maybe UFO visits. I don't know. Yeah. But
well,
know,
apparently,
well, apparently they are.
I know. You watched, oh, dude, I watched the Senate hearing. I watched.
Oh, yeah. I watched all. We're obsessed.
But why are people talking about that? It's so weird that we kind of have confirmation from the government, but yet we're like, oh, okay.
It's so weird because it's the way they went about it, right? It's okay, yeah, so, okay, it is happening, but this and that. But we're going to change it from UFO. We're going to change the acronym.
Yeah, and, so it's different, and now people don't care. Yeah, and it's weird. It's
like, dude, it's such a, but I'm fascinated by it.
They confirm there's terrestrial bodies.
Another thing, like in Peru, this small town in Peru is claiming they've been terrorized by these 7-foot tall aliens.
What?
Yes.
I saw something about
recently,
that.
Yes. This little town in Peru, they're like, there's, no, apparently, that's the newest thing. This is on TikTok.
I can't wait to research this.
Did you ever see the documentary in South Africa of the children's school?
No.
Okay, watch that. There's a documentary about it. This is an entire faculty describing what happened.
Oh.
And on top of that, they have the pictures that the kids drew from that time, re-interviewed as adults.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the stuff they draw, but everything is corroborated.
Yeah,
corroborated.
That's a weird word.
Corroborate with R, or it could be corroborated.
I feel like that's where you're getting. But no, watch that. It's super interesting because this was adults who are now in their elder years, and the kids that are now in their adult years. Wow. But everything's is trippy.
It's so trippy. I love that kind of stuff. I love conspiracy theory. I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists that go out and like really believe, but like it's fun to research them and pretend to believe in it. But,
I'm curious of the unknown.
Yeah. What's your favorite tattoo? I see that you have sleeves going on here. Man. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, shit. I don't.
And how do you choose? Man, is it like everyone meaningful, or you're like, I like that?
I'm young good. And drunk and dumb. And, I think we were in Australia and, super, super intoxicated.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And we all decided, me and like two guys from the label, I think somebody else, all went and got kangaroos.
Yeah.
I love the kangaroo.
But I'm just like, where the hell does that fit? Like, none of these really fit. I mean, I had my hand one removed.
I'll show you. This is the one I got in Australia.
Oh, God.
What is it?
The Southern Cross.
What?
Yeah, it's the stars of the Southern Cross.
Oh, cool. That had to hurt, though. You're on your...
Actually, everyone was saying, it's going to hurt, but didn't hurt at all. But again, I was in Australia and probably drunk.
You're definitely drunk.
So, I couldn't even get mine finished. I had god-awful one. My buddy who does DJ now. His name's Yoltron. He used to do tattoos occasionally, and he did one on my foot. And I was definitely drunk. And I was just like, I can't. I'd had all of my head on my ribs. Couldn't do it. It was just so painful. Yeah.
The worst one for me, and I wasn't even there to get a tattoo. My friend was, and I was, watching him, and they're like, do you want something? I'm like, actually, I've always wanted like a teardrop here on my finger. that little bitch. It was, it's like someone took a hot knife.
I would immediately go, Lance, that's a teardrop.
Yeah.
It's a teardrop. There you go. You just got to do it like that.
Yeah. But man, that hurt. Oh my gosh, that hurt so much. So outside of your career, what are the hobbies you like to do? What keeps you, get your mind off of the deep stuff?
Oh man. I'm always thinking the deep stuff, man. I love the exploration of something out in the universe.
Yeah.
So I'll end up, spending my time just watching crazy documentaries. I am a documentary buff.
Good.
I can love them. Yeah. There's a lot of them that are super stupid, but man, it's just interesting.
I love doc. I mean, I'm a doc filmmaker, and it's one of my, it's my passion. It's my love because you make no money off of them, but I keep doing them because I love it. And if you haven't seen Boy Band Con, one I did for YouTube, watch that one because as a musician, because it's about Lou Pearlman, the guy who, put us through everything.
That's a good documentary.
It's eye-opening for sure. Okay. For any artist out there.
I'm watching that tonight.
All right. Now you've been pretty open about your mental health on your social media. Give us some tips for people who are in a dark place? And besides like therapy and everything, is there any tools that you use to kind of snap you out of dark thoughts that you're having?
Oh man. You gotta be, first you gotta, if you just try to push it down, it gets worse. Right? Yeah. So I would say you gotta first off understand that you're thinking of it for a reason. You need to explore what that reason is. Mm-hmm. And there's really anything. I mean, that's the other thing I love. Like I've for some reason, but on this, like I said, documentaries, random documentaries, but I've watched a lot of like hospice documentaries. Right. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is this is a, you are seeing in the eyes of somebody else, the end of their life. You're hearing what they have to say. And they're, you know, always going to be more knowledgeable in my opinion than, you know, somebody that's far away from it.
Right.
Yeah. And I think seeing that kind of stuff and seeing the relationships that people have makes you more grateful when it's over or when you're in that situation. So that's how I do it. But I like I said, I always think it's important to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that just goes away. You know, if you want to watch a happy movie, you know, you'll think about the happy movie. But right afterwards, you're going to go right back to that way of thinking.
All right, we have some fan questions for you.
Yes.
Did you ever learn the classic TikTok dance?
I did it.
Yeah.
Really bad. Really bad, man. Yeah, I was baffled by that.
I think we have to try this. I need to find the classic TikTok dance.
I think we do. Right. We have another question.
That was Ashley GB.
And then we have another question from Emily Gross, 1990. Do you prefer acting or singing? And is there any chance you would want to do a musical?
Ooh, would you go to Broadway?
Oh, man, dude. I always loved theater. Mm-hmm. I definitely did a lot of, like, you know, musicals and stuff growing up. I don't know which. I think it goes back to I love music because, depending on how you go about it, you have a little bit more creativity.
Yeah.
Acting, you're reading something somebody's written, but I think there's something beautiful with that. Musicals, funny story about musicals, man. So when I was 16, 17, I was flown out to do screen tests for High School Musical, whatever the last one was, and did it with Kenny Ortega. We did that whole thing, and it was really cool. Didn't get it, but it was still an awesome experience. I'd be down to do whatever.
Let me give you three Broadway shows, and you have to pick the one that you would join. You got three offers covered right now.
Right now.
Okay. One is to do the lead in Chicago. One is to do the lead in Hamilton. And one is to do the lead in Hairspray. Which Broadway show would you do?
I do Chicago. I did Chicago in high school.
I loved it.
Billy Flynn.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
That would be a fun one. Man.
So good.
And the way they made that film, too. That is just.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
That was like that was the best really cool. adaptation of a musical to a film.
And it still does really well. I mean, do they still do it on Broadway?
It's never ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. That's got to be a crazy.
I mean, Phantom just ended. It was the longest running, and it just. Stopped. Yeah.
I mean, every year there's like a new Real Housewives in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Did you guys ever see Hamilton? Did you guys see Hamilton?
I have, yes. Well, it was so amazing to get to know you. Congratulations on
a great interview.
All your success. You are definitely one of the best storytellers that we've had on the show. So
thanks, man.
Maybe you need to call Audible.
I'm here from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, how can all your fans keep in touch with you?
Man, I'm hardly on the social media these days, but I'm on Instagram occasionally. Follow Waller.
Sweet.
But yeah, man, it's awesome talking to y'all. I appreciate
you too
reaching out, man, and I wish you both nothing but love and success.
Likewise,
thank you.
Sir.
Likewise, Tony. It has been great getting to know you, and definitely have to have you back on to have a little follow up.
Love to, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'll switch out the Batman for something else.
Done and done. And I'm gonna work on that solo thing for you because we do magic.
Okay, I love it, man.
All right, Tony.
I love it, brother.
Good to see you,
thank
man.
You guys. Appreciate it, man.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or a glimpse behind the scenes at world-famous studio tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just be
a
me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Am I going to say
it? You're going to say it again?
Are we really going to say it?
He was so nice.
Nicest guys.
And like great storyteller.
I'm telling you, I wrote all my little notes right here. Best storyteller we've had.
Yes.
And we've had some good storytellers.
We've had some good. Yeah.
But he's just something about it. He's
good.
He's
personality.
Great.
I know.
Aww, Tony Holler.
Very sweet.
I love when people are very open about their struggles with depression and all that, because all of us deal with this.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when you don't think, you're like, oh, wait a minute.
So I'm
so happy that, you know, he does talk about it publicly, because I know people listening right now are like, oh yeah, I can relate
to
that.
And it's a good reminder, you know, like what he said, like we just focus on like what you do have. And for me, that's the best thing when I'm feeling so down or depressed about something, like my world's ending. Mm-hmm. I just think about, well, okay, I woke up in a lovely home. I have my children, I have family, I have food, like the basic things of life I'm not worrying about. So
we all have a lot to be lucky.
So the grand scheme of things, you just put things in perspective and it really helps. Those are my 2 cents.
Oh, I love your 2 cents. And maybe I love three. Your dimes and your nickels and your quarters.
Oh, stop it, guys.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to tell our little peanuts before we leave them?
Just that we love you and appreciate all you listening.
Yes. And don't forget to breathe, like Faith Hill says.
Oh, like breathe. Well, yeah, don't forget to breathe in general, because you'll die. But when you do breathe, make them count.
Yes. And breathe deep. I'm telling you, it's much better. A lot of people don't breathe deep enough.
Listen,
they're not getting down there.
You got to breathe deep and hold that breath for a few seconds and let it out.
Exactly.
Transform your mind.
I'm telling you. All right, guys. Well, now that I'm falling asleep, let's get out of here. Because that is all the show I have for you. Thank you so much for listening. Be good to each other out there. Don't drink and drive. Take care of all those animals.
Yes.
And remember, stay frosted. Hey, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Frosted Tips with Lance.
And Michael Turchinart.
And at Lance Bass for all your pop culture needs.
And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars, 6 if you can. See you next time.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.